Welcome to What's Your Jock Support Pee Wee Podcast. This is our third episode of our series on sports representations in movies, specifically high school movies, movies about high school that feature high school sports. Does that make sense? At any rate, this series is called There's No I in Teen, Playing Sports, Playing Identities. We review some of our favorite and some of, well, the favorite and hopefully your favorite movies where high school, sports, and growing up face off. Exploring the theme sports draws out in movies from more literary. I'm a professor of English, teaching classes in transmedia storytelling, remix, rhetoric, and media epics. And, well, Danielle and May here.
I'm Danielle, and I'm a political science and theater double major, and I love Trichets.
Brittany, this is not a democracy, it's a cheerocracy. I'm sorry, but I'm overruling you. You are being a cheer tater, Torrance.
I'm May, and I'm a theater and English double major, and I've never seen any of these movies before.
So why are we revisiting these classics? We think it's fun, and that should be enough, but we sorta know there's gotta be more. To play with academic-y theories and show how academic discourse can complicate sports in a fun and accessible form, we wanna be good team players. There were quite a few trips down memory lane and some trips up memory avenue. I want to start with the lane. I saw this in the theater with my girlfriend, who's now my wife. Bringing It On is where we actually proposed. And
awesome! Oh, wow! Like, totally freaked me out. I mean, right on.
And actually, I never proposed to my wife that way. Yeah, it was just, I don't know. It seemed like it would be important or kind of cool. You want to keep on listening. But anyway, I felt really braggy one time because if we go down memory avenue, I was at Washington State University, and I was taking my required gym class, and it was gymnastics. I learned how to do a standing back tuck. I caught the eyes of the cheerleaders that were practicing, and I was a total missy. It was so great. I was impressing them with my skills, and I was invited to try out. I never ended up doing it, and I really regret that. I think it would have been really fun. The last thing was upon rewatching Bring It On, I watched it first with my 5-year-old and 3-year-old. We didn't get through the whole thing, but my son, Meadowlark, he did bring up an interesting point about the beginning part, like Tor's dream. He's like, why did she care that her shirt came off? And I just thought that was kind of funny. Like, everybody's kind of laughing or shocked at what happened. And he was like, whatever, this doesn't make any sense to me. That's my memory. Avenue, lane.
Going back to your son's question about why she cared that her shirt was off, maybe in another world, she wouldn't care. But in this world, she has unintentionally displayed her body, and that makes her lose control of that objectification. So that's like the horror.
When I first watched Bring It On, like, I don't even remember that part. Like, I remember the cheer before.
I'm still big red.
But I think I was just so focused on their like fun little like dance that I didn't even realize like the bad part. But yeah, I watched all of them when I was a kid, and I've seen like every single iteration. And this one isn't my favorite. It's like number 2 for me. And then I've also seen the musical adaption, and I listened to it to get in the Bring It On mood. So I have a lot of experience watching the Bring It On movies, and there's like a lot of them. And for one thing, it shows that I love cheerleading movies, but also it shows that a lot of people do too. I think it's really interesting because it's something that people don't think of as like a sport or as like a sports movie, and it's kind of like pushed to the back, and yet there's like 7 movies and a musical adaption, which shows that some kind of people like it.
Bring It On paints cheerleading is like a fully fledged sport, and it requires like hard work, dedication, whereas the football team is not that great, and the cheer team is really good, and they're also like popular, well-known, like everyone loves them, so it just creates a really interesting like role reversal.
I mean, that's...
yeah.
And what's the vibe or the mood you said? What's the mood you get into with Bring It On?
Very, like, motivational, like, score. And I think the movies are kind of like that, too. They're kind of like, oh, like, they're beating this big challenge. But also, like, in the same way, they're doing it the right way. So, like, even if they don't win, they're winning by becoming better people. Like, I feel like that's usually the theme of Bring It On movies, is winning is, like, internal and not like external, which I think is really interesting, because I don't think that's like something that all sports movies follow. It's usually win the big game, but in a lot of the Bring It On movies, they don't win because the person who like deserved to win, or who the audience feels deserves to win, gets to win.
Yeah, I know watching it, because I was watching it for the first time, I definitely was not sure which of the two teams was going to win. I think I liked the way it ended with them getting second, because I feel like it helps them learn more of a lesson than if they had won.
But no trips down memory lane, May.
Nope, this is the first time I'd ever seen it.
And what was that experience like?
It's like so clearly a movie from like the 2000s. So it was like a little nostalgic.
Tell me what was nostalgic. I'm just curious.
And it definitely has like character tropes. Those characters are present in like so many high school movies that it was like familiar in that way.
Yeah.
I feel like that when like most people think of sports, they think of things like baseball and football because they're like popular male dominated sports. Whereas like cheerleading, I don't know, ice skating and dance are more feminine, so they're dismissed. And cheer is definitely a female dominated sport, which contributes to people disregarding it.
It always seems kind of sad when you go to a football game or a basketball game, and then during like the cheers and things, people kind of get up and they leave instead of paying attention to it.
For me, like, I've always been kind of like the opposite, where like I would leave during the game and then come back during like halftime and like during when the cheers were happening. That was always more interesting to me than like watching the football game.
It's like how during the Super Bowl, I only watched the halftime show and like the commercials.
Right. Yeah, that's right. The Super Bowl, that event has become, so all the periphery, the paratexts and things around it, those sorts of texts have become really important. Yeah. And that's funny that cheerleading still sort of has that stigma, right, of being a paratext or a text that surrounds the main text.
Like the cheerleaders just like refer to the football games as like their practices, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I like that. Another one of those reversals.
But like really like the whole goal of the movie is not even related to football at all. It's related to the big competition that they go to. And like the football players don't really understand that. They're the ones who are like making fun of the cheerleaders. And that's where a lot of the homophobia in the movie comes from, because they like call especially the male cheerleaders like homophobic slurs. It's like strange to me how prevalent it was.
I thought it was cool how like, you know, cheerleading seemed really more accepting. Like you heard was I don't know if it was who you play for or was something about their sexuality. And he said, "I'm controversial," which was kind of an interesting way to play it, because I don't think they ever used the term gay. So that was how they approached it. And then there was a scene later, which is kind of, you know, challenged this homophobia. But again, it's still unclear, and maybe this is because of the era, where Les watches another cheerleading team. And so after the dance, he's like, "Hey, great cheer out there." And then, you know, nothing goes forward with it. But
yeah. It's interesting at the time, because I feel like there weren't a lot of gay characters or like outwardly gay characters being portrayed in movies. So it's interesting that they like included a nod, but they weren't kind of brave enough to go farther with that. And I feel like that comes back to when we talk about some of the other topics like race, where they like kind of touched the boundary, but they didn't really go full through there.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And you got me thinking, like, also, to have anyone gay in the movie, it would have to be someone who's a cheerleader, right? So none of the football players, that would subvert something, right? But with cheerleaders, it's almost like you've got that stereotype, and that's okay to be gay as a cheerleader. But, you know, otherwise, football players, they never tackle that issue. Oh, did you hear that?
Oh, my God.
They never tackle it. What?
It was definitely, like, the excess of the use of the F slur was like surprising, and you expect to see it when watching old movies, but it was just a lot. But I feel like it also like definitely showed how the male cheerleaders were viewed as like lesser than the football players, because they were participating in a feminine sport instead of the like traditionally masculine one. Even though the movie like depicts cheer as a real sport and a successful one, they were still thought of as lesser than the others because it was feminine. And then it wasn't just the F slur, they also used the D slur to talk about some of the cheerleaders, which was interesting. It's used twice to talk about Missy.
Could Missy be read as a lesbian, a bisexual, or is Missy straight? Is it just unclear?
I don't think she ever explicitly says anything about her sexuality, but like especially at that time, the assumption for all characters is that they're straight. Straight is the default. So I feel like she was intended to be straight and then was just called the D-slur because she dresses more alternative and she is like outspoken and she fits more into like the masculine lesbian stereotypes.
I transferred from Los Angeles. Your school has no gymnastics team. This is a last resort.
I've got to mention something about this because, you know, my background is literary and rhetoric and, you know, communication kind of things. And this is your words. These are your words of the day, I guess. I think I've talked about them before, but aptronyms and inaptronyms. And there's something that like connects to the awareness of the film and what's going on. And an aptronym is when you've got a name of someone and it fits the name. So you've got like a character or personality that fits the name. So someone who may be of slight stature is named Small or something like that. And if it's inapt, an inaptronym, it means it doesn't really fit or it's ironic. So you could have a happy person named Melancholy or something like that. So we have such strange names. There's something about Rancho Carne High School, and then there's the East Compton Clovers. And East Compton Clovers, would they be named that? Like, because they're lucky, so Clovers. And then the Meat Ranch, it just seems like, is that apt because of what we see with the, like, when they're earning money to pay for the choreographer?
I feel like I would argue that the Clovers aren't lucky and, like, they've, like, worked hard for everything. They've never had things, like, handed to them. So that would be an inaptronym.
The movie. So one of the main issues the film has to do with cheating. Cribbing cheers from inner city cheerleaders of East Compton. And so there's that coded language of the inner city, which is just referring to the cheerleaders of color, mostly black and brown cheerleaders.
Yeah. I feel like,
yeah,
like there was good representation in the movie, but like with the coded language, they didn't want to go out and say like, well, this is racism. Like it was just like, they tried to portray it more as like a poorer school and like a richer school. And I also feel like it didn't really dive deep into the topics like I mentioned before. And I also think that like the characters from the Clovers were very underdeveloped, which I think kind of like works against the message of the movie, because you're supposed to root for this team and you do, but you don't really get to know them as individuals like you do some of the Toros, even though like a big part of the movie is the interactions with the Clovers.
Didn't you think, I thought it was kind of interesting too, that Isis and her group of the Clovers, you know, you almost have this like Jets versus the Sharks kind of thing, but Isis is like, and her group, but they like, they were really aggressive and they almost wanted to fight. And it was kind of interesting that that would be how they portrayed the inner city as being, you know, more about displaying brute strength against, the Toros, for what happened.
I feel like it definitely was not executed correctly because all we see on screen is them being ready to fight, but they also talk about how they've been aware that this has been going on for like years and they've put up with it and they're finally fed up. And there's definitely like something to be said for that, because if like black women are stereotypically seen as aggressive because black women like put up with being stereotyped over and over again. So, and when they get fed up with it and say something, then they're seen as aggressive. I guess it's going back to what Danielle said earlier, but I felt like it was positive representation because the black cheerleaders were portrayed as like talented and original, but they were also only characterized as like the opposition to the white characters instead of having their own like personalities and development. But even though the characters are underdeveloped, it definitely somewhat addresses how white people have a tendency to steal from black culture.
Guys, like every time we get some, here y'all come trying to steal it, putting some blonde hair on it and calling it something different.
And there is a nod to this being a constant issue. When Torrance discovers that the cheers are being stolen, she also discovers that it's been happening for years. Even though the movie also like doesn't acknowledge that the issue extends beyond cheerleading, it's just in relation to cheerleading. It's still an interesting like parallel to the stealing of black culture through all other aspects of society, especially with like the responses of the white cheerleaders, because Big Red is definitely in the wrong for stealing the cheers in the first place, but the other girls are also at fault, because when Torrance like brings it up to them and wants to create original material, they want to keep using the stolen material, even though they knew where it came from.
I swear I had no idea.
Well, now you do.
And it just reminded me of something that I've like seen a lot as more of a modern issue, where people use AAVE and then call it Gen Z slang instead of like recognizing and acknowledging the roots of what they're saying.
Yeah, and that also gets to something else that I want to talk about. Like, well, what counts? It's just kind of interesting. What counts as cheating? Where do you draw the line, you know, from them cheating these cheers? Because when they're doing it their own way. And I was just thinking, because later on they borrow, right, or from all these other genres, they borrow from other dance styles. So here they are, when they're being original, borrowing from all these other things, which doesn't seem original.
I mean, it made me think of like cultural appreciation versus cultural appropriation. Mm-hmm. And the thing about them stealing the cheers in the beginning was that they weren't giving credit to like the people who created it, and they were kind of taking it as their own and saying like, oh, we're such an original team, that's why we got so far last year, is because we have all these great ideas. Whereas like when they looked at all the different kind of like different styles and stuff, they were acknowledging like where those things came from.
I think it definitely has a lot to do with credit, and I think it's also like inspiration versus like mimicking. When they were stealing the cheers from the Clovers, it was like a direct copy. They weren't like looking at some of the moves and saying like, oh, I like this one move, like let's put it in here. Whereas like with the dance styles, it was like more taking inspiration from different aspects of each. So I feel like that's also a big thing.
So the other thing, I guess we can wrap it up with this too, and you guys just add your final thoughts on it.
I like the movie can be a segue into thinking deeper about some of the issues that, like, explored on the surface.
Even though it definitely is a product of its time, there's definitely some questionable things, but it definitely, it was an interesting watch, it was a fun watch, and then it touches on a lot of issues, so like Danielle said, it was definitely interesting to like look at those and then think deeper about them.
So, I mean, I liked parts of Bring It On. It definitely helped me see cheerleading in a different way, even when I saw it in the theaters in 2000, I think is when it came out. But yeah, so yeah, overall, go cheerleading, go cheerleading, go cheerleading, go, go cheerleading.
I said, it's cold in here. There must be some clovers in the atmosphere. I said.